Oh man, it's great to be here. Praise God. I'm just opening my Bible here in my notes. I got to get there. Where's the little button? There it is. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. And what are we preaching tonight? We're preaching on the truth. The truth will set you free. How many moms ever told their kids that? The truth will set you free. Praise God. If you don't know me, my name's Jordan. I'm Wendy and Mike's son, and I'm Pastor Terry's nephew, and so, you know, lots of family history, and it's good. So it's a privilege to be here. I really feel honored to speak to you tonight, and I pray that what God has given me will speak to you. I pray that you can digest it and that you can apply it to your life, and you know, God is so good. He gives you a test. When he gives you a word, he gives you an opportunity to apply it to your life. And sometimes that's not something you pray for or want, but you know, he's got to make sure the word's in you. So God has given me lots of opportunities to test this out tonight. But we're gonna go right into it. The truth shall set you free. If you brought your Bible, you can open it up to John 8, 31 to 32, or you can just look at the screen because it's on there. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. So that's kind of our flagship verse tonight. We're going to have lots of scripture to check out. But bridging the gap between knowing the truth and the truth setting you free is often a more complicated and difficult process than I think that we would give ear to. For instance, I don't know how many of you have been driving before, and you hear that dreaded ding, and the light comes on your screen and your dash, and it's telling you that there's a problem. There's a little engine problem, and it's a sinking feeling if you own a vehicle because there's a problem. And all vehicles do is take money from you. They really don't give you any. And so you have three ways of going about this light. You can pretend that it's not there. You can just pretend. And I don't operate that way. I just can't. I see it. I heard it. It's there. There's a problem. So the other way is you have to get a very specific kind of tape. It's called electrical tape. And it actually covers the light so it can't come through. So it's a much better way of pretending. That it's not there, but again, if you're like me, you know it's there. It happened. I watched it. I heard it. And so there's the third option, and that's where you gotta take it in, and that's really inconvenient. You know, you've gotta book an appointment with your guy, your mechanic, and you gotta pay the diagnostic fee now, which is like $200. And like, come on, we haven't even fixed the problem, and. But let's say you go that route and you bring it in and you do the thing, and the mechanic says, all right, you need new spark plugs. Well, praise God, you've got the truth. It's better. It's all better, right? Just drive off. The light will go away. You found out the truth. Oh, how many know that it's not quite that simple? My dad's a piano mover, and that just means that I did a lot of piano moves growing up. And I remember doing a piano move one time, and we got to the move, and my dad looked over, and he just sat there for a second, and, you know, usually I'm waiting for him to be like, okay, we need the ramp, and we need the dolly, and we need the blankets, and blah, blah, blah. And he just sat there, and he looked at me, and he said, okay, let's get paid. And I said, well, that'd be great, but we haven't done anything. And he just smiled, and he said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could just show up to the job and sit there for a minute, and then go to the destination and sit there for a minute, and then get paid? You know, and we laughed because, you know, the drive is so nice. We're guys, we don't talk to each other. We just drive, and it's wonderful. And we just sit there, and then we get to the destination, and he goes, we need the ramp, we need the dolly, we need the blankets, and then we do the thing, and then we go. And we had this laugh, you know, oh, it'd be great if we could just get paid, you know. And the truth's kind of like that, too. You can't just find out you need spark plugs. You've got to put them in, and that means you got to pay the real bill, you know. And even if you're handy and you do it yourself, you still got to buy the parts. You got to take the time. It sucks. And the truth, well, it's kind of a lot like that, isn't it? It's the same with the truth. You can't just find out what's wrong. You've got to do something about it. And so that's why we've got the F-R-E-E. What's it called? What's that? Acronym. We got an acronym. All right. So we can all be free tonight. Praise God. We got a F. Find out the truth. What's the problem? What's going on? Okay. And then we got to realize a remedy. We need to find the truth out again. The truth of how to fix the problem. Next, we got to execute. Execute the solution. You can't just find out. You got to do it. So do it. We execute and then we exit the bondage. Hallelujah. Let's bring it to every hospital, every guy on the street. It's time to set some people free. Amen? It's so simple, isn't it? Oh, I wish it was that simple. I wish we could just F-R-E-E our way out of some stuff. But you know something? People are often in a lot of prisons. And sometimes they got a lot of layers. Some people got health problems that aren't fixed by just eating more kale. Come on. I mean, sometimes those health problems are due to bad habits. Those bad habits are due to emotional trauma that they suffered. And some people are locked up in a maximum security level five multi-layered prison with 10 locks and 10 security guards at each lock. And you can't just F-R-E-E your way out of the prison. It's not just that simple. You know, the worst thing is when people find out the problem. They always say the first step to recovery is admitting to the problem. Okay, I've got this problem. They find out. And then they find a solution. They realize the solution. They execute the solution. And then they stay in their prison. Like, let's say you go to the doctor. We'll just stay on the health train here. You go to the doctor and he says, hey, bud, the numbers are high, okay? So here's the remedy. We're going to change the diet and we got to exercise and you got to take these three supplements, okay? He gives you the prescription. All right, the solution. Praise God. I like this doctor. I'm going to go to this doctor. And so he gives you the solution. And you go home and you execute it. You take out the bad in the cupboard and you get rid of it and you replace it with good. And you get the gym membership. And you even go to the health food store of all places and you get the three supplements. Praise God. And you execute the solution. But when it comes time to eat the food that you're supposed to eat, you make a clever excuse. Oh, I don't know how to cook, or I don't have time for this, I'm exhausted, and you get the Uber for what you shouldn't, and you go to the gym, but you don't actually exercise, you just sit in the hot tub, and you call it going to the gym, and you just forget about the vitamins altogether, because the problem is, if you exit the prison of bad habits, you got to face the reason why those bad habits are there. And sometimes it's a lot easier to just stay in prison, you know, to just develop a mechanism that just enables you to coast by without having to really dig deep. And we call that a coping mechanism. And they can be good when it's intentionally being used to combat the uncomfortable situation. But when you have a coping mechanism that you're using to just coast by, it really is just an efficient way of sweeping the dirt under the rug. And the problem is, problems don't get solved by covering them up. The problems still exist, and it just begins to pile up. And you might have a nice, efficient spread of the dirt under the rug, and you'll get away with that for years and years, but eventually it's going to show up. And if we're just coasting and we're just doing enough to deal and we're taking out these things, remember we talked about this last time, these dreaded things that we use to cope, that we use to, I don't want to deal with my moment right now. Scroll. It's an awkward situation. Okay, what's on Facebook? Help me out. You know? And it's true though, we do that and it's not healthy, it's not good, it's a negative coping mechanism. Man, bridging the gap between knowing the truth and the truth setting you free is a little more complicated than F-R-E-E. Sometimes we're wanting freedom from something that is at best a tension to be managed. And we're going after heaven and we're praying, God, set me free. God, heal my body. God, Heal my finances, God. And you know what? There isn't a five-layer, multi, you know, super prison behind it all. I just want healing. I just want financial breakthrough. And God isn't giving me the answer I want. I'm just getting ways to manage this. What if the truth isn't a cure? What if the truth is a shovel and not an excavator? What if it's a ladder, not an elevator? Oof. Okay, I'm asking some tough questions tonight. Now I have to answer them. So I think we have to define our definitions. What is truth? Define our terms. That's what it is. What is truth? What is freedom? Let's answer the first. What is truth? Gerson, give me some Bible verses. Oh no, Victoria, give me some Bible verses. God bless Victoria. Thank you, Jesus. She just gets put on the spot. She does so good. All right, we're going to look at the same verse again, John 8, 31, 32. If we abide in his word, we are his, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. John 14, 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, that was easy. Jesus is the truth. But the truth is not Jesus. I'll say it again. Jesus is the truth, but the truth is not Jesus. We got to understand this right. My brother Chris from BC, God bless him. Shout out to Chris. He taught me this. He said, Jordan, we were talking about love. He said, Jordan, you can't say love is God. God is love. And it works the same with this. The truth is not God. God is the truth. When I understand it like God is the truth, I have to go to God to begin to understand what truth is. Because God encompasses what truth is. He is truth. He embodies truth. But when I say truth is God, well, I get to slap my label on. I get to define truth and then slap that on God. And that's what we do today. Truth is subjective today, isn't it? It's what makes you feel good, just as long as it doesn't hurt people. But that's not authentic truth. Truth demands that you come in alignment with it. You either believe it or you don't. You either walk this line or you don't. It's simple. Truth is truth. And we have to understand this, that God is the truth.